Well, hey, I'm glad that you're here. And over the next couple of weeks, I want to talk a bit about Awaken and our vision, who we are. And as I mentioned, we're going to be kind of going through some of the goals. So I'm going to weave that into some of these upcoming sermons over the next couple of weeks as we prepare for our annual meeting and the start of a new year. And that's always how a new year begins, right? You have all these aspirations, all these goals, and then life kind of happens. So hopefully the goals that we are putting together right now, we're aiming to achieve all of them. And so I am excited to begin sharing them with you over the next couple of weeks. Now today, the sermon, I have a title for this sermon, and we're going to call it The Journey. Now you're probably wondering, okay, well, what journey are we talking about? Here is an observation that I have made about life. You can go to the next slide here. Maybe you've made this observation as well. Life is a journey. Anyone else agree with that one? You ever find this to be true? It's a never-ending journey. And what happens in life is typically you make a lot of plans. And so I wrote a few things that we plan for. We have our retirement accounts. Remember when I turned, probably when I was 16 or 18, I started working. My dad's like, hey, you got to start a retirement account. I was like, really? I do? Yeah, exactly. What are you talking about? Retire? I haven't even started working yet. I've been working for a month. So early in life, hopefully, we start retirement accounts to plan for, if I was like 16, 18, what is that? I think it was a retirement account that would kind of come to fruition, whatever, 2045. So at the time, it felt like so far away, 2045. Like, that's never going to happen. I think I'm like halfway there. We plan for vacations. Think about if you want to go somewhere far away or even just a couple hours by car, you have to get a hotel room, maybe get a flight. You want to plan, you know, you look on TripAdvisor, where are the top places to go, where are the top restaurants to go to, the top things to see. So you make all your plans. If you're like my wife, you have this entire itinerary. And we went away with my brother-in-law a couple of years ago. We went to Germany. This is like before kids. And they're like, we don't want to go on vacation with you anymore because you have everything planned out to the minute. It was like this tour and this tour. And she's like, but there's so much to see here. How often do you go to Germany? She had this entire thing all planned out. And I remember we were going to go to Berchtesgaden, which was way in the top of, I probably said it completely wrong, but even though I took German in high school, which was the Eagle's Nest, where Hitler had his little hideout. And you had to get on a bus early in the morning, and then you had to take the trip maybe two hours or so from the hotel. And I remember running up to their hotel room because the bus was waiting on everyone. It was just the two of them, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law. And I just pound on their door, and I hear, John, we overslept. And then John comes running to the door. He's fumbling with the lock, opens it up, but he has the security chain there. So the door kind of stops after a couple of inches, and they quickly got dressed. So if you go on vacation, there's a lot of planning that's involved in that. We plan for our education, right, Erica? We have our college education that we make plans for, probably something that you were preparing for even before you went to college, right? Like, okay, where am I going to go? Right, if you remember back for some of us that long ago, you had your top couple of choices. I did a couple overnight stays because you wanted to make the right choice. So you plan, where are you going to go? About a house? You start saving for a house. You have a job. We have these five-year goals that we plan out. My brother-in-law just turned 40, and I said, hey, do you have any plans, any goals for this next decade in life? And he's like, yeah, I actually have a couple. So we make these plans for our life, and there's things that we plan for, but then what I've come to discover is that you have the unexpected. And, oh my goodness, like, as you know, last year was completely, I feel like I've been living in a time bubble for 9 months. Last year, completely unexpected for us, but that's typically how life works. You have all these plans, and then the unexpected happens. You get sick. A relationship ends. There's the dream job that you held, and then it's no longer available for you. And then you kind of have to remaneuver things. You have to rethink some things. You have to revisit those goals, the plans, the things that you were hoping for. They may no longer be a possibility, or maybe they're just a little harder to achieve. So one of the things that I've observed through the years of my life, and I'm continuing to see this, is it's all a journey. And now here's the thing about a journey. We can go to the next slide. The thing about life, and the thing that I think you all want, because I think we all long for this, is we all long to develop a life that can withstand all that comes your way. Because there's that unexpected piece that you can never fully plan for. You make all your plans. What's the famous saying? You make all your plans and then God laughs, right? So you make all these plans, but then the unexpected happens, and the unexpected, it can be great, but it's not always the best or the thing that you desired. You ever experienced this? You get that phone call, and there's a speed bump. And so the trick about life is, how do you develop a life that can withstand everything that comes your way? And I would even go further and say, what you really want is not just to develop a life that can withstand all of it, but to cultivate an inner life that can, and we can go to the next slide, that can actually bring life, like true life and joy and meaning and deep connection with yourself, with each other, with the divine. See, we don't want to just get through life. That's kind of boring. That's kind of a sad I'm just making it through, just getting through. And yeah, I understand there's some times when you're just barely hanging on. But that's not truly what we want for our entire existence. We want to cultivate a life that actually brings joy to our souls, that brings meaning to this weird thing that we're all experiencing together. I mean, we're hurtling through space on a giant rock. If that isn't weird, I don't know what is. So how do we cultivate the fortitude to persevere in the midst of all of it? That's what I mean when I talk about the journey. So it's a personal journey, yes, but you can't live this journey on your own. I think we discovered this so well in the midst of COVID, right in the beginning of COVID, the height of COVID, when we were shutting everything down, the rates of depression skyrocketing. I mean, I would talk to so many people, and maybe you talk to people as well, and they're like, I just can't do this. Being by myself, not having that connect, I need to get back to be with people. Now that we're having another surge, I keep hearing from people, I just can't go back to where it was before. I can't have the lockdowns. I need the interpersonal connection. I need to be with people. I need to see people. I can't be Zooming again my entire life. Now let's go to the next slide, because here at Awaken, our vision, and we talk about the journey, is our vision is creating followers of Jesus. Now, why is this our vision? How does this connect to developing this life that I'm talking about? See, I believe that Jesus offers that life of meaning and joy and the fortitude to persevere. Jesus offers true life, the life that we're all desiring. One of my favorite verses, maybe many of you have heard this verse before, it's found in John, the Gospel of John, verse 10. And Jesus says this, he's speaking to crowds, to the disciples, those that are following him. And he has multitudes of people in the beginning of his ministry who are looking to him for guidance, for wisdom. And he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. You ever experienced this in life? There's a force. There's something that seems to threaten your joy. It threatens the very life that you have, the meaning that you hope for. Jesus says, yeah, the thief comes to steal and just to kill and destroy all the goodness that you have. But I have come that they meaning all of us, everyone, every single human being that ever has walked this planet, may have life. And not just simply life. Like, life is here. It's good. I've come that they may have life, but that they may have it to Jesus is upping the game. Other translations will say an abundant life. I mean, how many of you desire to live a life of abundance? A life to the full, not where you're just skating by at some baseline level, but where you're actually feeling all that comes your way. I love one of the things that Brené Brown says is that you can't numb pain and then experience joy. You have to actually enter into the depths so that you can actually feel the highs as well. I hate that reality. I wish I could numb the pain, the lows, the depths. I wish I didn't have to feel them. But if you can only feel the depths to like a 2, well, then you're only going to feel the joys to a 2. So if you actually enter into the pain into like a 6 or a 7, well, then you have the ability to now enter into the joy and the highs of life at a 6 or 7 as well. And Jesus says, I've come so that you can experience all of it in a full, abundant way. And so I believe, I mean, this is why I started Awaken, because I believe the way of Jesus, creating followers of Jesus, is how we actually experience all that life offers us. We can go to the next slide. The invitation of Jesus, it's a full, it's an abundant life. And it's an invitation into a certain way of living. So when we talk about creating followers of Jesus here at Awaken, we're not just talking about reciting Bible verses. We're not just talking about raising our hands about certain things or holding an intellectual viewpoint in our heads. We're actually talking about living a certain way, about setting your life up in a very particular way so that you can experience the fullness and the abundance that Jesus is offering. So it takes discipline, which is kind of a dirty word, I know, like discipline. Ooh, I don't need any discipline. I don't like discipline. I mentioned that to Reese, and he's like, I don't want to be disciplined, or the word, I guess, is punished now. And so now he walks around telling his sister, I'm going to punish you if you take that toy. this way, it takes commitment. It takes commitment. It takes going through routines, motions, and doing them again and again. It takes showing up to life. Like, you can do life, or you can show up to life. And there's a big difference. And you've all met these people before. There's people who are just kind of doing life, and then there's people who are actually showing up to the journey of life. And if you're anything like me, you want to be around the people who are actually showing up to the journey of life. The reason why I think so many people were following Jesus is because he was showing up, and he was offering a way of life that was contagious. There was something to the way of life that he was offering. People said, I need more of that. It takes a community. It takes us. Again, you can't live this life on your own. What's the first thing Jesus did? He gathered disciples. He didn't just teach and then go home and have everyone else go off to their own houses or jobs by themselves. Rather, he gathered a group of people together and said, hey, if you want to live this life that I'm offering, you can only discover it and learn to live it together in a community. And it takes following. Creating followers of Jesus, obviously, there needs to be someone that we emulate, someone that we follow. And in our culture, we know a lot about following people. Do we not? Let's go to the next slide here. And here's the truth. We're all following someone. We're all following something, whatever that someone or something might be. And social media knows this really well, and they've known this for a while. So I thought we would do some audience participation here today. So let's kind of like kick it old school for a while, okay? Then we'll bring it into the modern times. So what I want to do is I have three pictures of three celebrities, three very well-known people. And the game, we'll have a game show, I don't know what we'll call it, but the game's going to be, can you identify the product that this celebrity I don't know if they still sell it, but again, these are iconic figures. So can you identify the product that this celebrity was selling or endorsing at some point in their life? First picture. Troy Polamalu of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was he endorsing? I'll give you a hint. What is taking up like the majority of that picture? His hair. Anyone remember? Okay, go to the next slide. Head and Shoulders. And when he was doing advertisements for Head and Shoulders, he had a $1 million insurance policy on his hair. Oh, my goodness. Okay, go to the next slide. Come on. Michael Jordan, now I know he had multiple endorsements. What's he best known for? Nike. Next slide. Air Jordans. There they are. Everyone wanted a pair of Air Jordans. I remember when I was in grade school. Oh, you got the Air Jordans? You got the Nike? You got the swoosh on your sneakers? Oh, you're just, I want to be like Mike. One more picture. And this one, actually, me and Steph were talking about this. We actually didn't realize this, but I thought this was really interesting. And I'll tell you the reason why in a minute. Taylor Swift, one of the things that she endorsed, next slide, I'll just tell you. Did you know this? Diet Coke? I had no idea about this, but I wanted to point this out to you because you want to know how much money she made for endorsing Diet Coke? You think $6 million? All right, any other guesses? You think it's more or less? Just okay, so $6 million is our baseline. Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. More or less? All right, everyone's saying more. Try $23 million for endorsing Diet Coke. You think she even drank the stuff? Yeah, probably not. Now, let's talk about Instagram for a minute. Oh, and actually, can you go back? I saw that we missed the one slide. Go right before Troy's hair. So 75%, this is the current stat, 75% of marketers use influencers as a marketing tool because they know what sells products. If your favorite celebrity is talking about it, seen drinking it, wearing it, if they're selling it, ooh, I need to get that product as well. Now, let's go to Instagram. Now, who do you think? I want to give you the top five Instagram accounts, so the top five people in our world who are being followed on Instagram today. First, let's do, and this is number six, because number one is Instagram, and that doesn't really count. So, number six, Ariana Grande. I was like, what? Really? Who follows her? Apparently, 275 million people follow Ariana Grande on Instagram. Number four, I guess it'd be The Rock. Coming in at a 278 million followers. Next, number three, Messi. The soccer player, the football player, 281 million followers on Instagram. Anyone want to guess the last two? Any ideas? Who? Taylor Swift. Good guess. She's not on there. Interesting, right? Who? On Instagram, she didn't come in as the top five. No. We'll go to the next one. This is number two. Kylie Jenner. Who are these? I mean, I know who she is, but come on, really? Is she worthy of 281 million followers? It's debatable. And then number one, Ronaldo. Where did that come from? 366 million followers on Instagram. Here's your top five people followed on Instagram in 2021. And number one, obviously, Instagram coming in at 441 million. I don't know what Instagram puts on their page, just like pictures of their logo. See, we're all following people. Now, I have a question for us. And the question is, why do we follow people we don't know? Adam's like, I don't know. I don't have Instagram. But why do you think? What do you think we're looking for? Why do we follow people? Why do we pay attention to people's lives? Why do we have people that we can just go onto their page and there's 281 million people? What is it do you think that we're looking for? Yeah, we want to imitate them. What else? Mary doesn't follow them either. All right. So we're probably like split on how many. Actually, I think we're like half and half, right? How many Instagram people do we have? Okay. And then how many non-Instagrammers do we have? All right. So for the non-Instagrammers, who do you follow? Do you follow people? Do you look online? Do you?
I follow my family.
You follow your family?
Especially those who are not here.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay. So like on Facebook? Yep. All right. See, I think to a certain level, we're looking for guidance from some people. I mean, think about the self-help genre and how that's just kind of skyrocketed. I mean, you can find whatever kind of self-help. There's self-help gurus for exercise, for diet, for how to live your best life, whatever it is that you want to find. You can find all of it. I think we're looking to people for guidance. We want to imitate them, as Mary said. There's something about their life. You wouldn't follow something unless you found something interesting about their life that you want to imitate. You want to be like Mike. You want to be like them to a certain extent. Now, this is nothing new. And actually, if you were alive in the time of the first century, the time that Jesus walked the earth, we can go to the next slide. There were people known as rabbis. Rabbis were teachers. They were people that others looked to, again, for wisdom, for guidance. They wanted to imitate their lives. There was a common blessing at the time, and the blessing was, may you be covered in the dust of the rabbi. And this was like, if someone spoke this blessing over you, this was like, yeah, come on, give it to me. Because what this blessing is saying is that may you be following so close to the rabbi, the teacher, the one that you want to emulate, the one that you want to be like, that when they are walking, may the dust that comes up off their heels, may it cover your feet. It means you're following right behind them ever so closely. And what Jesus did and what other rabbis did is they would say, hey, why don't you come and you follow me and come be a part, come see my life. Don't just look at it from a distance. Don't look at it from your computer or from your phone, from a screen, but rather come and witness how I'm living. Because the only way you're ever going to emulate and be or have the type of life like the life that you see me have is that you would actually witness it firsthand. Now, there is a whole way of training, a whole way of teaching back in the first century. And I quickly want to give you the background on this. When you turned age 6, you would begin to learn the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. And so here's the Talmud. This would have been a Jewish book in the first century. And it said, until the age of 6, we don't receive a child, but from 6 upwards, accept him and stuff him with Torah like an ox. So if you were part of the Jewish religion, the time of Jesus, whenever you turned 6, you would be stuffed with Torah. You would try to memorize it because you didn't have your phone that you could look up Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. Rather, you would memorize the whole thing. And now there were 3 levels of education. When you turned 6, you started at the Beit Sefer. You'd be there from age 6 to age 10. And again, you would memorize Torah at that time. And then when you turned 10, only the best would continue on to the next level of education. The rest would be sent home to learn the family business, to learn the family trade. So if you couldn't memorize all those laws in Leviticus or you got bored with numbers, by the age of 10, you were out. You were learning how to fish or how to make leather. You were working at Chipotle. Whatever it is that your family did, you were moving on to that because you weren't going to make it to the next level of education. But if you could memorize all that, when you turned 10, then the best would continue to the Beit Talmud, which is known as the House of Learning. And you would be there from 10 to age 14. Now, you would memorize the rest of the Hebrew Scriptures, so the rest of what we consider the Old Testament. You would learn the oral tradition as well. So not just what the scripture says, but what did other rabbis have to say about it as well. And then you would learn the art of asking questions, because that's how all the teaching happened back then. That's why you see Jesus asking so many questions, because the way in which you would show that you comprehended what you were learning is someone would ask you a question, and then you would ask another question in return. And then once you turn 14, only the best of the best would continue to the next level of education. The rest would then be sent home to learn the family business. But if you were the best of the best, then you would continue to the Beit Midrash, the house of study. And there is a grueling initiation. The rabbi would ask you all sorts of questions. And if he didn't think you had what it takes, he would send you home. But if he thought that you had what it takes in order to learn from him and learn his way of life and his teaching, his way of being, well, then he would say this. He would say, come follow me. Now, does this sound familiar? If we're familiar with the Gospels, how did Jesus invite people to become a disciple? He would say, come follow me. Let's go to the next slide. And this is, what are we in? Matthew, go one more slide. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. So Jesus was walking, beginning of his ministry, and he's beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. What does this say about what these two were doing? they flunked out. They weren't the best of the best. They weren't following a rabbi. They had been told, go home. You don't have what it takes. So what does Jesus do? He says, you, come follow me. Who me? But all the rabbis said that I don't have it. I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. I'm not good enough. Yet Jesus says, come follow me. And so at once they left their nets and they followed him. And then going on from there, he saw two other brothers. They were in a boat with their father because they were preparing their nets. Again, what had happened? They flunked out. They didn't have what it took in order to be covered in the dust of a rabbi. Rabbis had all said, you know, you guys, just go home. I'm going to take these other students. And so what happens? They left the boat because Jesus said, come follow me, and they followed Jesus. See, this story, it gives me great hope. We can go to the next slide. It gives me great hope because it says that no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been told, no matter what your past looks like, no matter what you believe about yourself, the invitation of Jesus is come and follow me. Come and learn from me. Maybe you feel like a failure. Maybe there's times where it just doesn't seem like you're good enough or you measure up. Now, there's something in the past that you just can't get over. Yet the invitation of Jesus is for every single one of us. I believe in you. I believe that you have what it takes. I believe that you can discover a life of fullness and a life of abundance and a life of joy. See, when I started Awaken, I wanted to start a place for every single person, regardless of where they fall on the faith spectrum. For longtime Christians, for first-time Christians, for people who feel like, oh, man, if I were to walk into a church, the whole thing would blow up. Because this is the offer I believe Jesus has for every single one of us. And it's hope that, you know what? We can do this. And Jesus believes in every single one of us. And that we can come to discover this life. Yet I believe it also takes a community. It's not this thing that we can go off and learn on our own. Notice Jesus said, come and follow me. And then he kept on going. He didn't just stop with two brothers. He kept on going. He didn't just stop then with those other two brothers. He gathered a group of 12 together. And he said, let's do this journey together. Let's learn from each other. Let's watch each other. Let's learn from the mistakes of others. Let's challenge each other. Let's be a part of this journey together. And that's exactly how Jesus taught. So when we start, do I have one more slide here? When we start a new year, I always like talking about this invitation of Jesus and this journey. And I'm not a big fan of church membership. I've never been a big fan of church membership. I gave a sermon a couple of years back, like why I hate church membership, but you should be a member anyway. I don't like it because normally you just sign your name and then you forget about it. And it's like all the other commitments that we sign up for and then 6 months later we've forgotten about them. And I said, the only way I'll do membership, well, I had to do it because we are a legal entity, so you kind of have to have members. But the only way I could make it work for me was for us to renew on an annual basis, where we actually revisited it. And we actually said, yeah, okay, I'm going to commit. I'm going to be a part of this group. I'm going to learn the way of Jesus here at Awaken with this group of people for this year. So when we talk about membership, for 2022, I have some forms on the back table, and if this is your community, this is the group that you want to partner with, that you want to commit with or commit to, this is the journey for you to be on for 2022, then I would love for you to sign up and partner with us and do another trip around the sun with us here at Awaken. Where's this year going to go? We have some plans, and as I said, I'll talk about those over the next couple of weeks, but it's also unexpected. 2 years ago, we had all of our plans, and then COVID hit, and everything had to change. We had to learn how to go digital and how to not meet in person. Then we met outside for a while. So there's the things that you plan for, and there's the unexpected. And my hope, my prayer is that you would say, yeah, this is the group that I want to walk through this year with. I want to say yes to that invitation of Jesus. Come and follow me. I want to learn from Jesus, and I want to learn with this group and be encouraged and challenged and walk with these people. So that's my plea for church membership for 2022. Really having trouble with that one. Probably get it by October, and then it'll be time for the next year. And my prayer is that this year that you would go deeper in your walk with Jesus, that more dust would cover your feet, and that you would commit yourself to this life that Jesus offers, and that you would continue learning to set your life up in a particular way so that you could come to discover more of the life and the fullness and the joy that Jesus offers. Let me pray here for us. God, I thank you for that invitation that you offer to come and to follow you. God, an invitation for every single one of us, wherever we've been, wherever we find ourselves, whatever we feel about ourselves. God, this invitation that gives hope, that says you can do it. God, you can learn this way. And so I pray, God, as we say yes to that invitation, that we would come to discover the life that Jesus offers, this life of fullness and abundance. God, as we go deeper, I just ask that you would reveal more of yourself to us this year. Continue showing us what it means to follow Jesus with our lives. God, may you challenge us. God, may you show each of us the next step for us this year as we continue walking this journey together. God, I pray that Awaken would continue being a place where we can learn what it means to follow Jesus. God, I ask that others would be swept into this community. God, that others would be a part of this community, and that together we would learn the way of Jesus. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.